Okay. Are you ready? Mom kind of the class doesn't know you, some of the people don't. You want to come up here and tell them a little bit of what you're doing and lead us in prayer, brother? Sure. You mind doing that? He's responsible for this class I'm going to teach tonight, by the way.
Yeah, my name's Montana. I was asking some questions about it because in college, one of my friends was talking about Calvinism. So, yeah, but I'm going to school in Fort Worth, Texas, and at seminary, and yeah. But so let's pray, I guess. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you we get to come here and learn about you, dear God, and your word. I pray you'll just help us to understand, God, and to remember these truths, dear God, that that are from your word, and I pray you'll just bless this time, and in your name, amen.
Amen. Well, we're studying Hebrew, but we're going to take a little a jaunt over into theology tonight. But let's start out with 9 and verse 4. V'elei Shemot, 9 and verse 4. V'elei Shemot, 9 and 4. We'll read a couple of verses. And remember that that God is fighting. This is a battle of the gods. What was the spirit of the Nile? What was the spirit of the Nile? When God overcome the Nile River, you know, he turned it into blood. What was it? All right. Who was the protector of the Nile? Num. K-H-N-U-M. Okay? And the spirit of the Nile was Hopi. All right? So God overcame those two gods when he turned the Nile into blood. Before he did that, Moses and Aaron threw the staff down and it became a dragon. A tanin, not a nahash, not a serpent, but a dragon. And the Leviathans of old were always evil, usually. They were evil. And that's what caused storms in the sea and things like that. It would stir up trouble in the Sea of Galilee and everything. And so God overcame the Leviathan, because we know that that the prophets of Satan, basically, Jannes and Jambres, they threw their rods down and they became dragons also, but God's dragon swallowed their Leviathans. The frogs, we studied about the plague of frogs. What was the Egyptian god's name that appeared as a frog? The god of the resurrection. Het. All right. And how about the cattle? The Egyptian god Apis was a god of fertility, the bull god. Okay. And so when he brought the plague upon the cattle, he was fighting them. Imhotep was a god of medicine. The god of medicine. So when we had the boils appeared on cattle and upon people, the god of medicine, Imhotep, was overcome. The hail in the sky. The sky goddess was Nut, N-U-T. All right, so he overcame her. And then we see the plague of locusts. Zeth was the protector of the crops, the god Zeth. And then they had several of the sun gods, Re, Atem, Atum, and Horus. All of these were sun gods, and of course they could not do anything to give light. It was dark day and night. Extremely black dark. Okay. So we covered that a little bit. Go back and listen to that for a moment. We hifla. Hadabar, Ben, Mikneh, Yisrael, Yuben, Mikneh, Mitzrayim, Wilo, Yamut, Mikol, Livni, Yisrael, Davar. And he shall separate. He actually, this is what we call like a future perfect as well, consecutive perfect. Third person masculine singular. And he shall separate or shall have separated Jehovah. And I, there's Havagar right there. See, there's your word from Hebrew, Brother Montana. Havagar, right there in 9 and 4. 9 and 4, right up there, is we have the word Jehovah there, and we always translate that as Havagar, the word. Okay? That's the way they referred to it. And then Ben, and that's between an interval, a space of time, from cattle, of Israel. Now, God is going to make a difference between Israel's cattle and the Egyptians' cattle. And between Yuvan, you there is a conjunction, that's and then Van is between, another space or interval. From the cattle, Mikneh, from the cattle of Mitzrayim. Look at that word Mitzrayim there. Now, modern Hebrew, the word sod hay, that's the second letter, they just make it like an S. But the biblical Hebrew is a TS, Mitzrayim. Modern Hebrew would say Mitzrayim, but it's Mitzrayim. Okay, Mitzrayim. And then Wilo and not, we have a little, we have a conjunction there, and then an adverb of negation. And not, he shall keep on dying. Look at that word, third person masculine singular, cal imperfect. He shall dying from all the sons, Livene, all the sons of Israel, the plague, the thing, the event. The bar. See that word, the bar again? There is the word in Hebrew for word, but it means more than word. It means event, edict, whatever. 9 and verse 5 now. Wayesim, Hadavar. Again, we see the word Jehovah. That's Hadavar. Moed, Lemor. Machar, Yaaseh. Hadavar. Hadavar. Two different things, but the same word. Hazeh, Ba'aretz. Okay? And he set and placed and kept on placing Jehovah an appointed time, saying, Mashar. Look at the word, Mashar. Now, it's in the modern Hebrew, pronounce that pretty much like an H, don't they, Brother?
CH.
Kind of CH, yeah. So, we're going to put Mashar. It's kind of in your throat where you say that. Mashar. That's a chest. There's a chest and a head in Hebrew, two H's. Okay? And this is kind of like a clear your throat H. And then Yaaseh, and he shall accomplish. He shall keep on accomplishing Jehovah the thing or the event. Hadavar. See that word? Hadavar. The event or the thing. The this. Ha is the, and ze is this. The this in land. In the land. Let's go one more verse now. And then we're going to go into the election of Israel. And what election is. What biblical election is and what fantasy election is. Okay? Wayas Hadavar. Et. Hadavar. Hezeh. Mimma Tarot. Or Tarot, that is. Awayamot. Call. Mikne. Mitzrayim. You Mim Mikne. Bene. Yisrael. Lo. Met. Ihat. See, there you have that chest in there again. Ihat. And did and kept on doing Jehovah. That word there, et, that's a sign of the direct object. By the way, the et, the tau, the aleph and the tau, in Hebrew, the language is so definite as far as sounds go. And the tau is a soft T, except where it's got a dot in the middle of it. And that makes it hard, like a T. All right. What is the other T?
Tet.
And that's always a hard T. That's always a hard T. All right. Et, sign of the direct object. Hadavar, the event or the thing, the this. From tomorrow. And died all the cattle. All right. all the cattle, from all the cattle of Egypt, and from all the cattle of the sons of Israel, not each one had died. He had died. Not a single cattle had died. Not one. Aha. All right. So there's where we're going to go right now. We're going to go there, and then now we're going to go into election. Why did God pick 9, 4 through 6? Why did God pick Israel to be his nation? To be his son? Why did God do that? What does it say? Why in the Bible, why did God do that? Simply because he wanted to. Not because they were many, but they were one. Aha. Who was the one? Abraham. All right? From Abraham would come forth, actually, people from three different nations. Would they? All right? We'd have all of the Hamite people that came from Hagar and many of the Arab nations. We find out that that he married, of course, Sarah was his wife to begin with, but she didn't have any children. First child he had was a Hamite child from Hagar. All right, and she what nation was she from? It was a Hamite nation. Mm-hmm. Egypt. They were Hamites that were sons of Ham. Okay, and then the last wife he had, what was that one? She was a Japhethite. All right. And some of those went into Europe. All right. Now, why did God elect Israel? Because he wanted to. He is sovereign. Sovereign. Say the word sovereign. God is sovereign. And God elects. There are two basic elections in the Bible. Two basic elections in the Bible.
What are they?
Who are they? Israel, that's the one we're talking about, and the church. Israel and the church. Also, the family of God is elected also. And what does the word elected mean?
Elected.
Huh? But what does it mean? It comes from Greek. It comes from Greek. It means to pick out or to call out. Okay? To pick out. He picked them out. Now, the theological world, there are two groups in the theological world. We're called Calvinists and we're called Arminians. Jacobus Arminian or Jacob Arminius. He believed that a person could be saved and follow God for a while, but he could be lost. Now, there's books written trying to say that he didn't believe that, but he did. As simple as this, the Arminians are those that believe in temporary salvation. All right, it's not forever. Not forever. Okay? And the Calvinists believe in the security of the believer. Okay? Now, who would believe Arminian? What are some of the groups that believe Arminian? Pentecostal. All right. Amy McPherson. I mean, that's Calvary Chapel today now. If you really hold their nose to the grindstone, you'll find out they could believe in falling from grace. You get right down to the bottom of it. Okay? Who else? Who are Arminians today? No, they're a cult. Yeah. Who else in the what we call Christendom? Assembly of God. Okay, who else? Methodist. And one of the greatest Arminian groups is Free Will Baptist. Now, Free Will Baptists are not Baptist. They never have been Baptist. They were never Baptist. Okay? There were regular and separate Baptists in history. Regular and separate Baptists. Regular and separate. Not regular, but in America there was regular and separate. In Europe, there's general and separate Baptists. General and separate. General Baptists and separate Baptists. General Baptists and separate Baptists. What are they, the general Baptists? What do they believe? The General Baptist became known as the Free Will Baptist. They actually, that group actually came out of the Methodists, and from the same source as the Methodists. They came from the Church of England. By the way, the Catholic Church is Armenian in their belief for their members. The Church of England is Armenian in their beliefs. All right? These are all what we call Armenian. They believe that you can be saved, but if you don't hold out, if you don't follow the Lord every day of your life. And the Church of Christ is extremely Armenian. The Church of Christ is extremely Armenian. Okay? Now the particular Baptist. In America, there are almost all Southern Baptists were particular Baptists. Okay? I could go into other areas. There were particular and there were regular Baptists and there were separate Baptists here. The regular Baptists, basically, they came from the George Whitefield, what we call the Great Revival or the Great Awakening. And he was a Congregationalist. And he preached in some Baptist churches, and they call them the regular Baptist churches, because they would let him preach. The particular Baptist or the separate Baptist, or the particular Baptist would not let George Whitefield preach in their churches. And there were Baptist associations that grew up out of that. And finally, they called themselves Unity Baptist. And they just dropped all the bars. They separated. They had different associations and everything else. And they finally called themselves Unity Baptist. And from this group come Southern Baptists also. But basically, they're particular Baptists. Particular. Southern Baptist churches were not called Southern Baptist churches originally. They were called Landmark Missionary Southern Baptist Churches. Landmark Missionary Southern Baptist Church. J.R. Graves was one of them that got the name of that. He was president of the Southern Baptist Convention at one time. He said, let's go back to the ancient landmarks and hold to the ancient landmarks of what Baptists believed. Okay? Now, all real Baptists believe in security of the believer. They have believed the doctrine called once saved, always saved, and I think sometimes that is a real misnomer. Once saved, always saved. Because if a person is really saved, they are saved forever. But so many people today, we have easy believism. They do it without, they'll go down to the church without repenting. Without really having a change of heart and feeling sorry for what they have brought themselves into. Okay? When you repent and when you call upon the Lord to save you, you are saved. You are saved forever. Okay? You are saved forever. Still, you will see missionary Baptist churches. Missionary Baptist churches. Why are missionary Baptist churches called missionary Baptist? What's the difference between a missionary Baptist and a primitive Baptist? We're talking about church history, but it's extremely important before you get into election to even understand what this is, okay? Because this is where it all came from. What is the difference between a primitive Baptist and a missionary Baptist? Total hereditary depravity. This is Tulip. This was Calvin, John Calvin. Now, the Baptists preached security of the believer before Calvin was ever born. Calvin was a lawyer, and he put terms down, and so was Luther. He was a lawyer also. But Calvin took and rewrote all of Augustine's work, which was the City of God. Okay, he was a Catholic, early Catholic father. Total hereditary depravity. What does that mean? What does total hereditary depravity mean?
The inheritance.
We inherit our sinful nature from Adam. Now, we're just going to state that. Now, we're going to find out different Baptists, different stages of Calvinism believe differently about that. Okay? We realize that every person that is born into this world is born lost. You're born totally hereditary depraved. And without the Spirit of God working on your heart, you're depraved. You're going to go to hell. You're not going to come to God unless God draws you, unless God convicts you of your sin. Unconditional election. Was Israel elected unconditionally? Was there anything about Abraham that just God said, I have to make a nation out of him? How wonderful and righteous was Abraham? Just think about it for a while. He was a liar, wasn't he? He was a cheat. And kind of a whoremonger, too, wasn't he? He was all those things, but he was also the father of the faithful. Why? Because God said, I love that man. I love him. I'm going to make a nation out of him. And he was old when he started having children, wasn't he? God had kept him from having children before that. He had kept him from having children. And he had married one woman originally, which was his sister. She was his sister, his half-sister. Her name was Sarah. Sarai at that time. And they didn't have any children. She was a very beautiful woman, but they didn't have any children. He went down in Egypt, cheated Pharaoh, lied to Pharaoh, got Pharaoh in trouble with God. And then God said, go have him pray for you. He's my prophet. He's a prophet. He's a man of God. Even though he was a liar and a cheat and all this kind of stuff. Okay. Then he had this Egyptian slave for his wife. And he got her because Pharaoh wanted to get him out of there. And he gave him a whole bunch of stuff and said, leave and don't come back. I don't want liars and cheats and people. You're contaminating my land. Get out of here. Then, of course, he married. Who was the last one? What?
Something with a K.
Yeah. Keturah. She was Jacob. And he had a bunch of kids even when he was that old. And all of these, God blessed every one of them, didn't he? Why did he bless them? Because he elected these people to be his people. And he blessed all of those nations that were from Abraham because they were Abraham's descendants. He said, your descendants will be like two things. What? What's the two things? The stars of heaven, which would represent what? The spiritual children. And then the sands of the sea, which was his physical offspring. Okay. Total hereditary depravity and unconditional election. How about limited atonement? That's a doctrine that is different. Tulip. Limited atonement. What does that mean? The atonement of Jesus Christ did not cover all mankind. Simple as that. Limited atonement means that Jesus didn't die for all men. That's what Calvinists believe. The hyper-Calvinists. Okay? And then irresistible grace. What does that mean? What does that doctrine mean? Brother Montana, do you know what that one means? Irresistible grace. It means that when God calls you to salvation, if you are one of the elect, you cannot resist. You have to go. You're a drug to God. Okay? And then preservation of the saints. That means you're saved forever when you're saved. Okay? So we have we've divided two groups. Are you totally confused now? We've got two groups in the world. What are they? Arminians and Calvinists. All right. I had some students one time that did not want to say they were Calvinists. They didn't like Calvin at all. They read a couple of books about Calvin, and they didn't want to be identified with Calvin. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't really like being identified with Calvin because Calvin was a heretic. But the world identifies me as a Calvinist because I believe in the security of the believer. All right, what Baptists believed before Calvin was ever born. But they just look to Calvin and say, are you a Calvinist or an Armenian, which is Jacob an Armenian? Arminius or John Calvin. And I have to say, I am a Calvinist. But I am not a supra-lapsarian, and I am not an infra-lapsarian, and I am not really even a sub-lapsarian. And we're going to go look at this. Now get your little papers out. I hand it out to you. All right. Your little papers. Election and vocation. All right? We're going to look at this. In treating election and calling as the application of Christ's redemption, we imply that they are, in God's decree, logically subsequent to the decree of redemption. But even so, several views of the order of decrees are possible. Sub-lapsarianism holds that the decrees of God are in this order. The decree to create. Did God decide to create? Did He? All right. We all agree on that, don't we? God decided to create. When did He do it? According to Hebrew, the Hebrew Bible. How long ago was it, brother?
In
one of the beginnings. All right. Way out in eternity past, somewhere out in eternity past, before time began, God created the heavens and the earth. And then what did He do? And then it says that He placed the earth in exactly the right place. How long ago that was, we don't know. But we have a modern view of the earth is only 6,000 years old, which is what we call the young earth theory. But the young earth theory does not agree with Hebrew, because it says, and the earth she became formless and void. What happened in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 when we have the rebellion of the spirits and angels that destroyed the earth? The stories there in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel. What happened? What did they do with that? And the Bible says that God did not create the earth formless and void, but He created it finished. And Hebrew, barashith, bara means what? What tense is that? That's perfect tense. It's finished. And then Genesis 1 and 2 says, and then the earth, she became formless and void. She became. Something happened. All right? And then God mourned over, suffered over, cried over His creation. And He began to restore it. And there's 6,000 years ago, the reconstruction of the earth. Sub-lapsarianism holds that the permit to fall. What is that? The permit to fall. It means more than what you're looking at right there. What was that, Julie?
Volition.
God created spirits, angels, and man with volition, and even animals with volition. Did you know that? Even animals have volition. We can prove that from the scriptures. Do angels have to serve the Lord? How many of the angels rebelled against God? 1/3. How many of the spirit world? How many of the spirits? The Ruach. Say Ruach. How many of the Ruach rebelled against God? At least 1/3 of the spirit world. The spirits are different. Ruach is different than the Melech. Say that one. Now, that's angels. All right? And angelos. We get our word angelos. They have physical form. They have, and of course they travel between dimensions, don't they? We can't do that. We're not dimensional travelers. But angels and spirits can travel between dimensions. Okay? Well, He permitted angels and man to have volition. And volition means what? A hyper-Calvinist will not like this term. He doesn't like the term about volition either. They will say that Adam had volition and angels had volition. But they will not say that you have volition. Okay? We're going to get into more of that as we go. But angels have volition. Did Adam have volition in the garden? Could he serve God? Eve, did she have volition? Even the Calvinist will not say that they didn't have volition. Now, number three, the decree to provide salvation sufficient for all. Sub-lapsarians believe that. that salvation would be provided for all, not the angels, all right? Not spirits. Once they have gone astray, they're done for. But mankind. Mankind. The decree to provide salvation sufficient for all. That's what we call an unlimited atonement. Unlimited atonement. Okay? The sub-Lapsarians believed in unlimited atonement. They did not believe in unlimited atonement. Okay? And, let's see, let's go a little further. The decree to secure it and the acceptance of salvation by some and decree or the decree of election. That some, the decree to secure the acceptance of this salvation by some, they do believe in basically a form of irresistible grace. Okay? Sublapsarians. To irresistible grace. Now, the infralapsarian view. We have sublapsarian, we have infralapsarian, and we have supralapsarian. Are you following? No. You got the? Can you? Are you getting it there?
A little bit.
A little bit. Julie, are you got it just a little bit? It's going to tie together as we go. Have you heard these terms at all, Montana?
Some of them.
Now, some of the terms you've heard. Okay. Infralapsarian view agrees in the first 2 points, but makes three: the decree to provide salvation for the elect. It is evident that this view holds both to limited atonement and to irresistible grace. This is infralapsarians. Hyper-Calvinism. Hyper. That comes from Greek, doesn't it? Hyper. What does hyper mean? Hyperglossemia. Julie, hyperglossemia? What does that mean?
Low blood
sugar. Hyper.
Oh,
high blood sugar. High blood sugar, that's diabetes. Hypo. Blood sugar is low blood sugar. That's what I'm plagued with. 3 o'clock this morning, they got me. I had to get out of bed. I didn't want to eat, but I had to go drink juice and finally ate something. I did not feel like getting up in the middle of the night and eating. That is not what I want to do in the middle of the night. I want to sleep. You had that happen too, haven't you, Roger? Hyper means much, a lot. Whole bunch, abundance. Okay? Hyper-Calvinist. Now, some of the Calvinists today will try to tone Calvin down. Calvin was a radical person. He killed people. He believed in regulated Christianity. He believed in breaking in the kingdom of God. And forcefully he did it. Where he was in control, he forced tithes. You had to go to church or go to jail. God doesn't do that. Does he? No. God won't make you go to church. You should. He'll fix your want to if you're saved. You'll want to go to church. You'll want to be with God's people. Hyper-Calvin holds that is known as supralapsarian. This is what we call a five-point Calvinist. A five-point Calvinist. Have you heard that term?
Yes.
Well, 5-point Calvinism. Now, these are the 5 points, but they change. A supralapsarian will say a person is totally hereditary depraved. A sublapsarian will look at use the same term, but it's different. How would they be different now, Brother Mike? You know what a 2x4 is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2x4. You've probably had 2x4s in your hand before, haven't you? 2x6s and everything. They just lay there, don't they? They don't do anything. They just lay there. Huh? That's what you call dead wood. These supralapsarians believe that every person in this world that is not elected to salvation is dead. They have no receptor. They cannot hear God's word. They are dead. They are dead and they stay dead. They have no ability to come to God, nor to hear. Do you Did you hear what I said? Now, that's what I mean, too. That's what they believe. Is that what they believe? They believe that either you're born dead or you're born alive. And they believe that God elected the dead to damnation. They are elected to damnation. They are elected before they're ever born to damnation. That's quite a deal. And they believe that little children, before they come to the age of accountability, if they die, if they're not of the elect, that they go to hell. They don't know how many really are the elect and how many are not. Did you know that? This is what we call supralapsarian or hyper-Calvinist. So they say when a baby dies, that I do a funeral, I believe that God provided salvation for all of those that never come to the age of accountability. Because I believe in volition. I'm a modified sublapsarian. I don't even believe what the sublapsarians believe. I'm a real Baptist, genuine. Now we come to missionary Baptists. And we come to primitive Baptists. The primitive Baptist will not send out a missionary. Because the electrical come. You don't have to tell anybody to come to church. The elect are going to be drugged there. They don't have any will. They're dead. Everybody else is dead, but the live, they're going to be drugged to church somehow. They're going to get there. You don't have to do anything. So missionary Baptists were at least sublapsarians. So they say, we are missionary Baptists. We send out missionaries. A primitive Baptist, in a lot of ways, they do things that are right, historically. But boy, do they believe that they believe in damnation for some. Some are elected to damnation, and they believe you're elected to salvation, and there's nothing you can do about it. If you're alive or you can be saved, you're going to come to church. And I don't have to tell you to come to church. You're going to go. God's going to make you go. Because you are elected to salvation, and you have no choice. You don't say whether you're going to be saved or not. You have no choice in repentance or anything else. You are elected. You are sealed before you're ever born, and God sealed you in eternity past. Now the Bible does say what? That the God wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life when? Before He ever created the heavens and the earth. Way back yonder. That's true. The Bible says that, doesn't it? But does it say that He damned those back there? Was Judas damned in eternity time? Or did He damn himself? I believe that He made the wrong decisions Himself. And God used him. Pharaoh. We're talking about Pharaoh right here. See, Pharaoh was elected. Egypt was elected for God to go in there and to be the place where Israel would become a mighty nation, and that there would be a man named Pharaoh or a king of Egypt, and that God would bring forth His glory by subduing all the gods of Egypt. And we'd have it down in the book of Wheel Shemot, Exodus. Alright? Let's go on a little bit further now. Hyper-Calvinism holds what is known as supralapsarian. According to this view, the order of decrees is as follows. The decree to save some, not all men. Someone go to 1 John 2 and 2 and read that for me. This just blows away the limited atonement. All right? And there's many more verses, but that's just going to put one real... It's one very, very plain one. One very plain verse. 1 John 2 and 2. 1 John, have you, Montana, you want to come up here and read that for me, please? I'll see what that translation says. All right. 1 John 2 and 2.
He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
All right. Now, what does that say? What would a sublapsarian say about that verse? He is the propitiation. What does the word propitiation mean? That's the atonement. Literally, it means halosmos, which is the halosterion, the one which means the mercy seat. He is a propitiation for our sins. Our sins, who's that? Whose hour is there? That's a church that he's talking to, where he's writing that letter to. Our sins, but not only our sins, but what? The whole world. In other words, Jesus Christ, his blood, when he shed on the cross of Calvary, it was for all mankind. I had a preacher I grew up with. We were ordained together back yonder in yonder years. And he went off the way of the five-point Calvinist. And he told me one time, I don't believe that one drop of Jesus' blood was wasted, that he did not die for anyone that wouldn't be saved. Now, a super-Lapsarian believes that. But a sub-Lapsarian, a sound Calvinist, believes that Jesus Christ's blood, when he died on the cross of Calvary, that atonement covered all of mankind. Have you got any girls, Brother Mike, that are lost? He died for them. Did you know that? That's right. He did. A super-Lapsarian does not believe that. But a sub-Lapsarian or modified sub-Lapsarian like me, I believe that man has volition, just like spirits and angels and Adam and Eve. I believe what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden happens to us, except Adam and Eve, they didn't know what sin was, did they? But they had something that we got. What was that? Volition. When God created Adam, he created him not from dust, but from the same elements as the dust, and he breathed into him what? The breathings of lives. You were there. You were there. Okay? You getting all this down, Stephen? This is deep theology, brother.
So the volition came in when he had his life breathed in, not when he ate the fruit?
He was created with volition. Now, hyper-Calvinists, all the hyper-Calvinists, the super-Lapsarians, believe that Adam had volition. They'll agree with that. Because it's so plain in the Bible. I mean, you can't get around it at all. Can you? Was he created perfect? Did God create him imperfect? Did he create the earth imperfect? No. He didn't create Adam imperfect either. How about the angels? Were they created perfect? Yes. But they were created with what? A will or volition. Was man created perfect? Was Adam perfect in all his ways when God created him? According to Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, how did God create Hillel or Lucifer or Satan, as he's known today? How was he created? Was he ugly? Was he carrying a pitchfork with a forked tail with pointed ears and flaming nostrils? No, he was beautiful. By the way, he was a choir director. He was a great singer. But because he had volition, he chose not to go that way. Not only he chose, and he is called what? He is what? What order of angels? What order of angels? Brother Mike? Julie? Well, yeah, he was over the material creation, but what order of angels? What is he called? He's called a cherub. Alright, he had wings. He's a cherub because the Bible called him an anointed cherub. What does the word anointed mean? Set apart or picked out. Elected. He elected him to be over the material creation. Alright? He elected him to be over the material creation. But he did give him a volition. Now many of the hyper Calvinists don't believe what I'm telling you at all. They believe that God created him the way he was. Did God create Charles Manson to be a murderer? Super-Lapsarians say yes. He was damned in eternity past. And God knew what he did in time. He created him that way. You have a little trouble with this type of theory, this type of philosophy, and this type of theology. We have God creating evil, don't we? Do you or not? Did God ever create evil? He didn't create the earth formless and void. He didn't create it in confusion. When God creates, he creates order. Real order. Perfected order.
But he also created Charles Manson, knowing that Charles Manson was
He allowed him to. He allowed Satan to sin. He allowed him to rebel. He allowed him to.
So he might not have created the evil, but he allowed the people to be created.
He allows that. That's what we call the permissive will of God. This is the permissive will of God. What is a permissive will? That God allows things to happen. Let's go back into eternity past. God created a perfect heaven and earth. Okay? And we're going to look at some archaeology here. Okay? Some archaeology as we look at it. We know that the earth was created. It happened, didn't it? We have physical evidence of the earth being created. Do we have physical evidence of the earth being populated with animals before the fall of Satan? Do we have evidence of that? You have them in fossil form? Yes. What happened to them? There was a great catastrophe on this earth. Something happened. Okay? Something happened to the earth. A great catastrophe. In Luke 10 and 18, Jesus said, and we've studied three whole classes on the fall of Satan and who Satan was on Sunday morning. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall to the earth as a bolt of lightning. What does lightning do when it hits? It destroys. The earth has coal, it has all kinds of stuff in it. Now this is the permissive will of God that now Lucifer or Hillel, God, put over the material creation. And the earth was basically something very special in God's eyes. There's lots of planets out there, aren't there? There's lots of stars out there, but he made this one special because he's going to deal with it in person. Okay? All the rest of it's for decoration. But this one is elected for a very special purpose. God created all the heavens and the earth. And he put Lucifer over it, the shining one, Hillel. Okay? And he decided to fall, and when he did, he destroyed. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 says that he destroyed the creation of God and made it a chaos. Okay? Now, God allowed that, didn't he? Could God have stopped it? Zip! But there was a purpose. Why did he allow Satan to destroy this earth? What is a product of that? Oil and coal. What's drawing the world to the Middle East? Oil. So in his permissive will, he allowed this to happen because in the end result, he would bring glory to him. He allowed Pharaoh to rebel against him. And Pharaoh hardened his own heart how many times? How many times did he harden his own heart? Now this does away with superlapsarian. How many times did Pharaoh harden his own heart? 10 times. And then God began to harden his heart. He went beyond the point of no return. The point of no return. People, he sealed his doom himself. He sealed his doom. He became elected. He elected himself to eternal damnation. Once you reject God's word and told that God's word doesn't work on you anymore. People can come and hear God's word and be lost and just hear it and hear it and hear it. And finally, and they get convicted. But then all of a sudden it don't bother them anymore. It don't bother them. You know why? They have sealed themselves. They can go to church for years and seal themselves to damnation. Because they've never repented. They become what they call, what is old term called gospel hardened. That's dangerous, people. That's dangerous. Pharaoh became gospel hardened. He sealed himself, and then God did the final petrifying of his heart. God hardened his heart. Because he had gone beyond the point of no return. See all of these things as you look at total hereditary depravity. How does the superlapsarian believe in that? You are created totally unable to respond to God's word. The reason why you don't respond because you can't hear. You don't have a heart. You don't have an eternal soul that has volition. A sublapsarian will believe, well, yes, you can hear and you cannot. You either may or you may not. You have a will, a volition. Okay? Number one down here on the same page is the decree to save some and to reprobate the rest. That means that they're created to be reprobated. And some are created to be saved. How many of you are glad you've been saved? Put your hands up. All right, that's good, isn't it? That's that good? Because if you're not, you're reprobated. You want to be a reprobate? What does reprobate mean? Reprobate. That means the act of actively denying the faith, standing away from the faith. A reprobate has decided to stand away from the faith. Reprobate. The decree to create both those who are saved and those who are reprobated. Number three, the decree to permit. Some would say effectually secure the fall of both groups. Effectually secure that Adam would fall. Did God make Lucifer fall? Did God make those? No, He allowed it to happen. That's what we call God's permissive will. And in the Middle East, when we're going back, the cradle of humanity is in the Middle East. That's also going to be the graveyard. It's going to be the graveyard because they want that land and they want it. They want it. They want it. They want it. Mine! They want power and control. And because of him allowing Satan to do what he did, that deposit is over there of valuable uranium and oil. The Dead Sea is very valuable. Didn't you know that? That thing is very valuable. It's got a lot of minerals in it. The decree to permit, some would say, provides salvation for the former, and that is the elect. And it may be said, as Calvin gives some ground for this, and John Calvin, but compare with this with another statement where he says, man therefore falls, divine providence so ordaining, but by his own fault. Calvin used terms sometimes that didn't agree with what he said. I've got the whole Calvin's Institute. And 1 John 2:2, we're going to read in just a little while, where Calvin is quoted as saying that he believed that all man had an opportunity to be saved, but he believed that later in life. Now, I have never found that in any of his writings, but that's what some of the Calvinists say. Christ suffered the sins of the whole world, and the goodness of God is offered unto all men without distinction. What does that mean? Without being distinct between the elect and unelected, the dead and the alive. All right? This scary sometimes? This is a little scary, isn't it? These doctrines, aren't they? A little scary. His blood being shed not for a part of the world only, but for the whole human race. Now, that's what the Bible teaches, isn't it? That's what 1 John 2:2. We don't want to throw that out of the Bible, do we? We don't want to. That he died not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Now, that's what we call an unlimited atonement. But if you're a super lapsarian, you don't believe in that. For although the world nothing is found worthy of the favor of God, now is there anything in you that have been born again that's just so good that God had to save you? I'm going to tell you something about super lapsarians. They're very proud that God chose them for salvation. They're the chosen. Well, we know on. Let's put it this way. God knew who would be saved. That's a biblical fact, isn't it? In eternity past, He knew. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why and how did He do that? Because of sovereign will, or because of foreknowledge? Foreknowledge. Okay? Now, man is created in the image of God, is he not? Sovereignty means what? That you make your own mind up. The United States had a civil war over the sovereignty of states. Did they not? And we're still having that civil war today. They're still fighting over this. You know that? The sovereignty of states' rights. That a state is sovereign. That it doesn't have to answer to the Union. It's a sovereign state, and they can make up their own rules under the nation. Okay? God made man in his image, and one of the things they made him, because he is sovereign, he can damn himself if he wants to, or he can call upon the name of the Lord to forgive him of his sins and be saved. But he can't do it without God's call. Okay? Can you be saved without the Spirit of God calling you? That's impossible. No. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. But the superlapsarians to say, the all there is only the elect. But the Bible says all. It means all men. Have all men heard the Word of God? Have all men, does all men know that there is a Creator? There's something in you that draws you to God when you're created. You're created with a void inside of you that wants you to seek God. What you do with that void, whether it's self-seeking or whatever, is up to your volition. There's nothing that we can do to be found worthy of the favor of God. No, there isn't. There's nothing you can do to be worthy of the grace of God. We're unworthy recipients of God's grace. We are. Anybody disagree with that? That's a beautiful term. But the way they look at it is different. We are the elect. John Calvin never had an experience of grace. Did you know that? He just woke up one day. By the way, he was a Catholic priest for a long time. The Presbyterian Church and the Calvinism basically was a reformed form of the Catholic Catholicism. The Catholic Church believed in transubstantiation. Calvin believed in consubstantiation. We believe that the Lord's Supper is a memorial dinner, neither of the above. It does not. It's not a vehicle of grace at all. The Lord's Supper is not a vehicle of grace. Calvin believed that the Lord's Supper was a sacrament. The Catholic Church says there are seven sacraments that convey grace to people. You'll find out the Lutheran and the Calvinists all believe in the sacraments, but in a different level. If you are one of the elect, you will want to go to church. The Church of Christ believes that they're hyper Armenians. They believe if you miss one church service that you could have gone to and you miss the Lord's Supper one time, you're dead. You're out. You have to be saved again. You have to repent again. If you die in that state, you're reprobated. Okay? Free will Baptists the same way. They're not Baptists at all. Don't ever think of Free Will Baptists as Baptists. They started about 1611. Yet God holds out the propitiation to the whole world, since without exception He summons all to the faith of Christ, which is nothing else than the door of unto hope. Now, I have never found this statement of Calvin. I've heard it cited. It's cited and quoted from this book, Systematic Theology by Strong. This book quotes this book. All right, but I can't find it in Calvin's writing. Maybe he did it. Maybe he said it. Maybe he did not. But if he did say it, he believed in unlimited atonement at the end of his life. But he preached this. This was his Sunday school epitaph right here. This was it. This was his menu of what he believed. Let's go on a little further. Our own view is a modified of the subsolipsarian conception, and that is Thiessen. Thiessen was a great theologian. He was a really good Thiessen. And I am a modified subsolipsarian also. We believe that the decrees are in this order. The decree to create, do we disagree with the decree to create? God decided to create. The decree to permit the fall. Did he permit Satan's fall? Did he permit the woman to fall? Did he permit the man Could Adam have refused to take and eat? But in Hebrew it says that he deliciously just ate and ate and gorged himself. And she did too. When she tasted the fruit from that tree, she just started stealing it off. It was God's fruit. It wasn't there. They stole. And they became evil. And they gluttoned themselves on that fruit. They just kept gorging themselves. We believe that decrees are in this order: the decree to create, the decree to commit the call, the decree to provide salvation for all, the decree to apply the salvation to some and to those who believe. Here is another thing about sublapsarians. You believe in total hereditary depravity, but you don't believe that person is dead or alive. Really? What's this biblical point of view? That God calls all man to salvation. Does it say that or not? Okay. Some come, some don't. That's a fact. Total hereditary depravity, even superlapsarians, though, they believe that you can't come to God if you're dead. And you're as dead as a rock. That's why people are bad, and that's why they're created. They're created to be reprobates, to deny faith. They're created to be reprobated. God didn't create angels and spirits to be reprobated. He knew every one of them that was going to be a reprobate, that would deny the faith. But He created them with volition. The superlapsarians, well, Adam had volition and Eve had volition, but you don't. You don't have volition. You will come or you won't come. Now, the Presbyterian Church do preach evangelistic messages. One thing about the primitive Baptists, they won't preach. They do not preach, nor do they give invitations. They just preach. If you decide that you are one of the elect, you come forward and talk to the pastor and the elders of the church, and you will be baptized because you're one of the elect. John Calvin one day woke up and said, "I'm one of the elect. I'm one of the elect." Didn't have to be baptized. You know, salvation first and baptism second. Then you get saved first and then you get baptized. Baby, we don't baptize babies because they don't believe. They're not capable of believing. The Catholic Church, the Presbyterian Church, the Lutheran Church, they all have godmothers and godfathers to make professions of faith for the babies before you baptize, and they don't even baptize them, they sprinkle them or pour something on them. Baptism means immerse. The Catholic Church always immersed people for hundreds and hundreds of years before they started sprinkling and pouring. They did. Baptism was one form. Baptism was always immersion. Yes, Julie.
Are you
going to
go into Romans
9? We're going to go into some more stuff, yeah.
Because that's where I get
my. Okay, Romans 9. Okay, what does it say right there?
Mainly starting around verse 16.
Can you come up here?
It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, "I raised you up for this purpose, that I might display my power in you, and my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore God has mercy on whom He wants to have mercy, and He hardens whom He wants to harden. One of you will say to me, 'Then why does God still blame us? Or who resists His will?' But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why did you make me like this?' Does not the potter have the right to make out the same lump of clay, some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use?"
That's good. But which way are we going to look at it? We're going to look at it like a hyper-Calvinist, or we're going to look at it like a sub-lapsarian? What? First of all, who's speaking?
I think it's
Paul. Paul's speaking. Yeah. Who's he speaking to?
The Romans.
The church at Rome. The church at Rome. Okay? And they were having some problems with salvation and with some of the Greek and the Roman gods and all that kind of stuff. And they wanted to know why in the world some of them didn't get saved and some did. Did God make Pharaoh to sin? Did he make him reject him?
No.
We know from the Hebrew that he rejected, he hardened his heart 10 times. And when he did that, then God used him for his glory, didn't he? When Satan rebelled against God and he tore up the earth, the event, the Hadabar, the event of doing this, he is going to use in the end time. His permissive will, that's what we call a permissive will of God, allows the people to do this. Now, when you make a pot, when you build a piece of furniture or anything else, the furniture really doesn't have anything to say about it. Does it or does it not? Huh? No, not really. But he created all man, didn't he? He allowed Pharaoh to come along, and he allowed him 10 times to harden his own heart. And then he sealed him. He, like, put him in the oven. While it was still, you know, the same sun that hardens the clay or softens the wax will harden the clay. That's an old term. Sun or heat softens wax, doesn't it? But it hardens clay. But the clay was not always hard, was it? Think about that. The clay was not always hard. It was formable. Even when God created those that would be reprobates, and everybody is either saved or lost. There are no natural atheists. Did you know that? They have become reprobate atheists. They have become that. There's nobody created to be an agnostic. But they become agnostics. They help themselves right along. And they'll look for every little reason why they will be an agnostic. I guess that's where we ought to stop for right now. And we'll start right here next week. Is that all right with you? Do you want to finish the lesson? Did you get something out of it? Did you get totally confused? Yeah. It's very... As we go along, the lights start coming on. The lights start coming on. And you look at scriptures, because you know what? First of all, did God create? Yes. Did He create things with a volition? Yes or no? Yes. We know that. Even the super-lapsarian will say that. Did God create Adam with volition? Did you have volition? Did you ever reject God's word? And they will always say this, the hyper-Calvinist. They always say this. The very fact that you were reached by God is because you could not resist His will. His irresistible grace. No one ever resisted the grace of God that ever came to God successfully. Okay? Did they or did they not? These are just mock... These are just idioms that we see in God's Word. It doesn't seem like it makes sense. But what does the Bible basically teach? Did God's Son die for the sins of all mankind? Did He make... Now you have the Unitarians and the Universalists. They believe that God's Son died for all mankind and that nobody will be sent to hell in the end. We don't believe that, do we? I had a guy one time when I was teaching this very thing, I taught about TULIP. He came up to me and he said, "You're a Universalist." Because I didn't believe that all men were either born to be saved and those to be reprobated. That I believe that God's Son died for all mankind. I do believe that. The Bible teaches that, doesn't it? But the Bible doesn't take out your volition. You would be a robot.
In the Old Testament, when there was always going to war, mm-hmm. they would always say,
He confused them.
Yeah. So that wasn't their choice, because they thought their choice was to go and fight these other people. So God caused them to kill themselves.
That's right. He caused that because He was protecting His people. All right. But how were they his people? They were elected. Israel was elected, wasn't it? But what else? Each and every person in Israel, could they become a pagan? And some of them did. Did all of Israel leave Egypt? No. Did some of Egypt come and go with Israel? Yeah. Why? Volition. 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 This is one of the deepest subjects you could possibly ever get into. I hope that I'm... Brother Roger.
Are Luther and Calvin contemporaries, or were they...
Almost.
Oh.
Real close.
Okay.
Yeah, real close. Yeah, real close. Luther and then Calvin. But they were the type that they were right there, you know. In your...
Do you have your little
Trail of Blood with you? Your book,
Trail of Blood?
No.
I'll show you how it. Well, I know I have it somewhere.
What were they?
They're talking about mostly in the atonement and...
Okay, now... In your little Trail of Blood, your chart in the back of it, which I'll give out to you. I had to give you a little church history so you would understand what was going on. Why missionary Baptists? Why Southern Baptists? Why they teach what they teach? Okay. Luther and Calvin. In the chart, Luther lived between 1483 and 1546. All right. And Calvin... lived between 1509 and 1564. So see, there was a time that they were contemporaries. But Luther was actually the only one. Luther was what was called the father of the Reformation. But we find out, really, that there was Baptists out there preaching up the storm at that time that affected Luther and affected Calvin. Calvin killed some of them, and so did Luther. Both of them took part in killing Baptists. Baptists just preached truth. The Bible takes care of itself. Luther regulated Christianity, and so did Calvin, because they were Catholics. They believed in a regulated religion that the church and the state were one. Yes, Brother Mike?
If that's so, which this has been what's confused me the whole time, why did we have to be one or the other of those if they weren't even around until the 16th century? I don't understand that.
Well, some people have always believed in security of the believer. And there have always been others that were... The reason why we're named that today is because those two people became very famous. Jacob Arminius and John Calvin became very famous because of their propitiation of their doctrines. The faith within widespread during their period of time. You can go back in history and you can study from the time the church... The book of Galatians. The Judaizers believed in Arminian theology. Okay? Did they not, or did they? You see that in the book of Ephesians. You see that in the book of Galatians. You see it in the book of Hebrews. So we had the problem, and we got Paul writing letters to these churches trying to get them straightened out. That you're saved by grace. Ephesians 2 and 8 says what? For in grace you are having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. See, there you are. There we have Arminianism in the Galatian church. Okay? But we classify it as Arminian today because of Jacob Arminius. But it existed before Jacob Arminius. And it existed before John Calvin. Paul was a Baptist. A real sound Baptist before Calvin ever was born. And he believed... In total hereditary depravity, he believed in unconditional election. He did not believe in limited atonement, and he did not believe in irresistible grace, but he did believe in preservation of the saints. All right? What? No. Because you have a will, don't you? What did he tell the different church? Now, Paul said something different. There are two people in the Bible that's conversions were not real conversions. Who are they? Who are the people that God just...
Paul's
one. Who's the other one? Who's the other one?
Peter.
Who would be the least in the kingdom of God? Who's the least in the kingdom of God because of it? John the Baptist. John the Baptist was born saved. Paul the Apostle had already reprobated himself. He said, I am an abortion. I am an abortion. I was already doomed and born of Satan. And God said, come here, boy. And he did. He snatched him out of the jaws of hell. And John says, sometimes people are snatched out of the jaws of hell and you can smell hell's fire on their clothes. The flames of hell on their clothes because God has snatched them out. Huh? That's what it says in Greek. Yeah. If this, there's some really, you can get into some real fine points. As we've studied all of these different books, you will see that. The book of James, the book of Jude, 1st and 2nd Peter, and all of this, you can see the different little places, the book of Romans, where you just chose. If you look at that as a supralapsarian, you will believe that. Just that's the way it is. They're born doomed, we're born reprobated, and we're born saved. Either one or the other. We are either elected or we're not. But look what the Bible says. Did Judas refuse? Man, he was walking with the Lord. And he sold him out. Pharaoh. We know that the Spirit of God was working in him. He said, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. But he didn't repent. He got scared a time or two, but he didn't repent. Real repentance does what? Real repentance changes your life because you realize where you were going. This ought to be an evangelistic sermon, huh? That ought to just scare the hell out of anybody, shouldn't it? Really? Yeah. That's right. They ought to be afraid to go to hell. Are you reprobated? Are you saved? What is it? Did God give you a chance? Or did He just doom you? By the mercies of God and by the justice, is God just? Would He be just damning some without a will? Would He be just? He could be sovereign doing that, but would He be just? When you were created, every human being that was ever created had a sovereign will. Everyone that came to the age of accountability. Brother Madden once said one time when I was in the class, he said, there's going to be more people in heaven than there is in hell. I like that. All them little kids over in Africa and everything else, they grow up to the age of accountability, they're going to split hell wide open. That's what he said. But God chooses to let them die before they come to the age of accountability. So hell won't be so many people there is because they didn't have a choice. He even saved them. All them Muslim babies that die before the age of accountability get to go to heaven. Now a supralapsarian will not say that. Because you're either reprobated as a child, you're reprobated before you're ever born. Don't matter whether you grow up and come to the age of accountability. Don't matter. Because you're already reprobated or saved, one or the other. Luther had an experience of grace, did he not? John Calvin never did. John Calvin did not have an experience of grace. He just woke up one day and realized that he was one of the elect. Luther repented, called upon the Lord, but read the book of Romans. And realized it was saved by grace. You're saved by grace, not by works. He was a hyper-Armenian before because he was a Catholic. All right? I hope you've enjoyed some of this. You have another question, Mike?
No, I'm good. I'm just going to read some.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Sharon. That's all right.
Did Michael and Gabriel come in? Were they cherubs?
It doesn't say. Michael is an archangel. We know that Lucifer was probably an archangel. Michael is an archangel because the Bible specifically says that he's archangel in a couple of places. The Bible says that Lucifer was a cherub. We know that. We know that cherubs have wings. We know that there's another form of angels, another order that's called seraphim and cherubim. Cherubims and seraphim. All right, yeah. And there's archangels. There's seraphim, cherubim, archangels, and then angels. Okay. Regula.
Oh, I just said what's an archangel.
That's a head angel. It means a head of an order of angels. And Michael definitely is an archangel. We believe, most theologians believe, that there are three archangels. Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. But Michael is specified as an archangel. The Hebrews believe there are seven archangels. All right? In different orders. Okay? Roger, you got a question? One of the brightest stars on the street. How about you, Brother Abe? You don't say anything, but I know you. Yeah, those wheels are spinning, man. I know that. The young lady, Pam? Montana, did I help you a little bit? We're not finished yet. You'll have to listen to the rest of this, because I know you've got to go back to Fort Worth, Cowtown. Yeah. Julie? Mike? Sharon? Nope. All right. Did this help you? Did it help you? Do you understand things just a little tiny bit better now? Just a little bit? Theologically? Just a little bit?
I think the more I understand about it, the more questions I have.
Well, that's fact.
Yeah.
I have
to. I like get a tiny bit of it, and I'm like, okay, but that little piece that I got creates like 15 more questions.
Well, it makes you think.
Yeah.
You know, when my teachers used to tell me in the seminary, when you get a doctorate degree and you graduate from this school, you only have a license to learn. This stuff, most of my teachers could not have taught you what I taught you tonight. Only one man in the school that I know, maybe two, could have taught this lesson. Because they didn't go there. They just didn't go there. They did their little things. This is what you call advanced theology. Advanced theology. But we're talking about the election of Israel too, aren't we? So we need to understand about the election of Israel. We need to understand about the election of church. And we need to understand about the election of the kingdom of God. The family of God. And every one of them are different. All will have volition to a certain extent. Abraham did not have to follow God. And Abraham did not have to offer his son, did he? But he did. He was not a perfect man, was he? Not perfect by any means. Was Jacob perfect? Not perfect. He was probably one of the better followers. Joseph, we don't see any flaws in Joseph. Because he was the type of Christ in about 70 different ways. Alright? But we see all this. Now look at yourself. Where are you in the economy of God? What part do you play in the economy of God? Is God going to use you? Of course. You have a place. Do the lost people have places in the economy of God? Yeah, they're reprobates because they want to be. You think that Charles Manson ever heard the gospel? Sure he did. Jim Jones was a reprobate, wasn't he? And a murderer. And he was there is one of the most horrible sins is to use God's people. Jimmy Baker. It wasn't his immorality that was so bad at all. We're all immoral, aren't we? We all have immoral thoughts. We're that way. We are. We are Adamic, aren't we? But what really, what was his terrible sin? Why did he go to jail? Ripping people off in the name of God. And he's still doing it. He got out. Still doing it. Still doing it.
You know when we pray that, like when we're about to read the Bible, we pray for God to open our eyes and
yeah.
open our hearts so that we can understand what it is that He wants us to understand about the Word of God.
Yeah.
Like for me, I remember when I got saved, when the preacher was preaching, like I just could not help but like everything that you said, I recognized as absolute truth, and it was like there was no way I could have not gone to the altar and prayed. It felt like you know,
the Spirit of God was drawing you. The Spirit of God was drawing you, and you were responding. But you were responding.
My eyes were open to what the preacher was saying. When the person 3 rows back, God didn't open their eyes to what he was saying. So. Like you can hear something and not recognize it as true.
Yeah.
So So that, to me, means that there isn't choice.
It is choice.
Because your eyes, your heart wasn't open to the message. And that is of God. That's not, we don't choose.
Well, you can't respond to God's word unless the Holy Spirit draws you.
Right.
And did the Holy Spirit ever draw you before?
No, I don't remember. No. Not like that.
Yeah. You responded, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
You responded. Have you ever seen people? You know, I have seen people in church that just held on to the pew and would not go. And you, tears were coming down their eyes, and they held on to the pew and would not go down. And when they got the next time, it got worse, and the next time it got worse, and pretty soon they weren't holding on. There were no tears going down their face, but they were coming to church. Some of them were husbands of women. Some of them were women of husbands that were saved, and some of them were husbands of women that were saved. And they'll come and hear the Word of God, and either they respond or they don't. And I have seen them cry, both sexes, and either come or get hardened, or pretty soon it didn't bother them at all. Didn't bother them, period. No more. They had become hardened to the gospel. Hardened to the gospel. These are all different points of Calvinism and Arminianism. And you can go in the books of the Bible and you can just see it all over again. But we know one thing, that God provided salvation for all mankind. 1 John 2 and 2 is in the Bible. You wouldn't have to have any other verse in the Bible but that one. But it's there. But many other verses teach that. That's just one of the most profound. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men. All men? Does all mean all or all mean some? The superlapsarians will be some, the elect. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, and in every place, is it in the subjunctive mode or is it in the indicative mode? Subjunctive. We can believe. We can or we may not. If it was not that way, it would be in the indicative mode. Statement of fact. All right. Are you ready to go out and do something eternal? Man, we went way over tonight. I knew we would. Probably run out of recording over here.
I'm sure, yeah, that's cool.
The only place it went on is a video.
All right.
Well, let's have a word of prayer and go out and sick them. Go out and tell them, you don't want to be reprobated. You're reprobating yourself if you don't come. Are you glad you're not reprobates?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Who wants to come up here and dismiss us in prayer? The brave soul wants that. All right. Yeah, he already did the first one.
Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this open, warm day of knowledge and learning, the bonding within this group. We were better Christians for tonight, and we thank you for that. Praise you for your grace and your mercy and your love. And thank you. And abundantly, in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. The election of Israel.
This fool. Let's see how long it was over here. I stopped that. 1 hour and 28 minutes and 51 seconds.